come, kingdom of God, to this nation that I live in. God, I pray for the president and political powers in this nation that I may come to know you and experience your power. And then I say, come, kingdom of God, to the nations.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Job, and the program that you're listening to is called Straight Talk. I'm a pastor in the city of Chicago. I've been pastoring for quite a few years in a church called New Life Community Church. We're a multi-site church that meets in and around the city of Chicago. I have a deep burden to see this city transformed and each neighborhood experiencing the power and the presence of Jesus Christ. And it's my joy and privilege to be able to bring the Word of God to thousands of people, not only on Sundays, but also via the airwaves in the Chicagoland area. So many of you have been so supportive, so encouraging. I know some of you stay up late at night after your bedtime just to listen to this program. I'm sure that I put some of you to sleep with this program. And if that helps you go to sleep, well, hey, God bless you and keep listening. But I just want to encourage you to pray for the city of Chicago and the outlying suburbs that we refer to as Chicagoland. I believe that Chicago is a pivotal city in the course of this nation. With almost 10 million people in greater Chicagoland, this has been a center of power and a center of spiritual influence, a center that persuades and influences the rest of the nation. I've been praying for years that God would do something extraordinary in this great city of ours, and I believe that my eyes will see that. I've seen so much happening already. So would you pray that God would open up doors all over the city of Chicago? Would you pray that churches would be planted, that the existing churches would be strengthened, and that God would move in this city so that we would not be known as a city of violence, but that we would be known as a city where God has moved and is moving in incredible ways. Let's get ready for today's message.
Thanks, Pastor Mark. Tonight on Straight Talk, we're going to join Pastor Mark for the continuation of his message about the fundamentals of prayer and fasting. The text for our program tonight will be in the book of Luke, chapter 11. Here's Pastor Mark with tonight's Straight Talk called Prayer and Fasting.
Well, what is God's name after all? You say, well, I call him God. That's good, but that is sort of a generic form of deity. And sometimes we call him Lord. That's good because it refers to a master. But what is God's name? What is the name that God calls himself by? Well, a good place to figure that out is Exodus chapter 3, verse 13. Do you remember when Moses had the burning bush experience? God speaks to Moses out of a burning bush and says, Moses, I want you to go back to Egypt and I want you to set my people free. Now, Moses was terrified by that whole idea, and so he says, okay, God, but if the people ask me who has sent you, what God has sent you, what am I going to tell them? What is your name? Do you remember what Moses says, what God says to Moses? It says in verse 3:13, now they may say, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am, has sent you. I am? Say, well, now I'm a little even more confused. So Moses goes and says, I am who I am, has sent you. But what was God saying? God was saying, I am ever present. I am transcendent. This is about my presence. This is about my essence. This is about my being. I have always been. I will always be. I am here the same yesterday, today, and forever. I have no beginning. I have no end. I am who I am. And then in verse 17, God calls himself Lord. He says, the Lord. He refers to himself as the Lord. And that particular word, Lord, is translated, it's a Hebrew word, and it means Yahweh. Have you ever heard the word Yahweh? Okay, Yahweh. In our English Bibles, oftentimes, if you look at the Bible, it'll say Jehovah, right? Most of us. This word appears many times in the Old Testament. Actually, the word Yahweh, and sometimes in our English Bible it says Jehovah, appear, it occurs 5,321 times in the Old Testament. But actually the translation Jehovah is not a very good translation, because in the original Hebrew it was Yahweh, but in the 6th or 7th century, about the 6th or 7th century, the translators decided, since Yahweh was hard to pronounce, they put the vowels of Adonai, which is another name for God, with Yahweh, and formed an English version that says Jehovah, which is not really, it's sort of an incorrect translation, but hey, God won't get offended if you call him Jehovah. He understands what you're talking about, I think. God is a very secure God. But this word Yahweh occurs a whole bunch of times in the Old Testament, and the interesting thing about the name Yahweh is that God, 8 different times in the Old Testament, uses compounded forms of Yahweh. In other words, you'll read in the Bible and it says Yahweh Shalom, and it means the Lord is peace. Or you'll see Yahweh Rophi, which means the Lord that heals. Or Yahweh Imkadesh means the Lord that sanctifies. Or Yahweh Sidkenu means the Lord is our righteousness. Or Yahweh Nisi means the Lord is my banner that goes over me. Or Yahweh Rohi means the Lord is my shepherd. Or Yahweh Shammah means the Lord is there. So, what we're saying with this is, the more that you understand the name of God and the more you understand who God is, the more you will be able to hallow his name or set his name apart. So when you pray, go to pray, you start this way. My Father that is in heaven, thank you that I'm in relation. Thank you that you're my Father and I have direct access to you. And I want to thank you that there's no other name like your name. In fact, you are the healer God. And you are the righteous, the God that gives me righteousness. And you are the God that gives me peace. And you are the God that hovers over me as a banner. And you are the God that's almighty, because your name declares that this is who you are. Boy, that sounds a lot like praise, doesn't it? So you start off, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Position of sonship. Position of your name is great. Hey, and we've just started with the first phrase. We're just getting going on the Lord's Prayer. The second thing that the Lord's Prayer, so you start that way, you declare your position, you give God thanks for who he is and who he's declared he is, and then the next thing that it tells us in the Lord's Prayer, what's the next phrase in the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that's the very first thing that we're taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer? Come, kingdom of God. Will of God be done. You say, well, what does that mean exactly? Well, if you read the New Testament, you'll hear a lot of talk about the kingdom of God. John the Baptizer said, get ready, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is near. When he was about to be crucified, he said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, I would fight, but my kingdom is not of this world. Jesus said, if you see evil spirits be cast out by the finger of God, you know the kingdom of God is among you. It tells us the kingdom of God is not in eating or drinking, but the kingdom of God is in joy in the Holy Spirit, joy and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. What is the kingdom of God? Well, the kingdom of God is the rule and reign of God. When we are praying, come kingdom of God, you see, the Old Testament Jewish people, they believed that the Messiah was going to come and establish an earthly kingdom on earth. They thought that Jesus was going to come and was going to debunk the Roman authorities that were invaders over Israel, and that he was going to militarily and politically oust the Roman occupation and establish a kingdom in Israel, and there would be a free and vibrant nation. But Jesus didn't. He brought a kingdom, but it wasn't a political kingdom and it wasn't a military kingdom. It was a spiritual kingdom. And here's the thing. When you pray, come kingdom of God, this is what you're praying. You're praying, come rule of God. God, With all your lordship and power, I want you to come and set things in order in my life and around me. Come and rule, God, just the way it is in heaven. Come and rule on earth. Now, let me tell you how I pray. I've been doing this for years now, and I start sort of in concentric circles. Because I figure before I can pray for the nation or before I can pray for other people, I need to pray for me first. So here's what I pray. Come, kingdom of God, on my life. That means if I have any attitude, any part of my life that's not under the submission of the lordship of Jesus Christ, that I'm not walking in sync, that there's something out of alignment, I'm not forgiving, or I have a bad attitude, or God needs to do something, I say, come, kingdom of God, to my life. I submit myself to you. Rule in my life. Rule over my attitudes and my heart, over my thoughts, over my mind. Rule in my life. That's how I pray. And then I expand it and I say, come, kingdom of God, to my marriage. Rule in my marriage with me and my wife, God. May we reflect the glory of Jesus, forgiveness with one another. And God, may you rule in our marriage so it reflects the kingdom of God, and so that there's forgiveness and love flowing from us in right relationship. And then I expand the circle a little bit more. And I say, come, kingdom of God, to my family. And I pray for my children, that they may walk in you and know you, protect you, that their hearts may be right before you, God. Come, kingdom of God, to my family, that they may make right decisions and love you, that they may be under your lordship. Then I say, come, kingdom of God, to my church. And the leaders and the people that are there, may our church reflect the glory of God. May we walk under the power of the Holy Spirit, and what we do, may it not be a kingdom of its own, but may it reflect the kingdom of God. Come, kingdom of God. Set in order things within the church. May it reflect the power of Jesus. Then I say, come, kingdom of God, to my city. He places in the city of Chicago, God, come, rule of God, and rule over the authorities, and rule over this city, that neighborhoods may come to know you, that people may come into submission, that many may come out of this city into the kingdom of light. Then I say, come, kingdom of God, to this nation that I live in. God, I pray for the president and political powers and this nation, that it may come to know you and experience your power. And then I say, come, kingdom of God, to the nations. All over the world, God, may your kingdom be expanded. What are we praying? The rule and reign of God. Some people say, well, I don't understand. If God is real, how can there be so much violence and bigotry and sin and rape and war all over the world? I don't understand it. If God is God, why can he allow all this to happen? Well, here's the thing. The kingdom of God coexists with the kingdom of darkness.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Prayer and Fasting, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Luke, chapter 11. Tonight's Straight Talk is called Prayer and Fasting.
We have the kingdom of darkness, and the kingdom of light is invading the kingdom of darkness. And a lot of what you see, evil, injustice, hurt, and rape, and torture, that is under the auspices of the kingdom of darkness. As the kingdom of light advances, it begins to take over the kingdom of darkness territory, but it is our job and our responsibility to pray the kingdom of God down. Our responsibility to spread the kingdom of God on earth. There is a battle going between two kingdoms, not physical kingdoms, but spiritual kingdoms. And every time someone comes to Jesus Christ and we accept Jesus as Savior and what? And we say, my life does not belong to me anymore. You are Lord of my life. And at that moment, someone enters into the kingdom of light and comes under the rule and domain of God. That's why evangelism is one of the best ways of expanding the kingdom of God, because we're praying that people would come to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Come, kingdom of God. You see, because it's God's desire that earth would reflect heaven. In heaven, there's no sin. There's no bigotry. There's no violence. There's no abortion and divorce and abuse. There's no verbal abuse or sexual abuse. There's no jealousy or bitterness. There's no selfishness. That's the kingdom of heaven. And God is saying, teaching his disciples, pray that down. Pray it into the church and pray it into the world and pray it into the neighborhood and pray it into the communities. Pray, come, come, kingdom of God now. Come and saturate this place. We give you rule and authority and power, and we ask you to come and rule in this place in a powerful way. The Bible says, in Matthew, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you as well. So, first of all, it has to do with your position. Secondly, it has to do with your priorities. Thirdly, it has to do with provision. The third thing he teaches us to pray is what? Give us this day our daily bread. Did you know that Jesus taught you to pray for finances and provision? He said, no, Pastor, he taught us to pray for bread. Well, bread represents financial provision. Bread is symbolic of everything that we need in life. You see, for a Jewish person, they needed bread enough for that person, bread for his family, bread for the extra guest. And Jewish people often had to have bread to take to the synagogue for ceremonial purposes. So what you're doing is you're praying for material provision for yourself, your family, for giving, for extended. You're praying that God would provide your needs. Listen, never feel bad to come to God and ask for provision. In fact, let me tell you, you try to do it on your own, shame on you. You should be invoking the power of God to give you the ability to take care of your family, to give you the ability to meet your needs, and give you the ability to succeed to such a level that you can give and help other people out. Call upon God to do that. God should be your partner in your business. God should be your partner in your finances. You need to be praying. Give us this day our daily bread, Lord. He taught us, Jesus taught us to pray that way. Thirdly, fourthly, he taught us to pray people. Cleansing of ourselves and forgiving of people. And forgive us, how does it go? Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. So fourthly, you've prayed, you focus on position, and then you go to priorities, and then you pray for provision, and then now you're praying for your own self to be cleansed, and that you would forgive people around you. Now, I remember when I was growing up, I would like to skip this part of the prayer. Because think about it, it's a dangerous prayer. You know what you're saying? If I don't forgive people, God don't forgive me. Did you realize? I prayed that? Yeah, a lot of times. You know, when it's talking about debt, it's not talking about finances. It's translated transgressions or sins. What you are saying is, forgive me, God, because I've sinned against you as I forgive the people that sin against me. So if I don't forgive the people that sin against me, that have sinned against me, if I don't forgive my mother for that critical lashing tongue, I don't forgive my husband for his issues, and I don't forgive my cousin or my boss, then God, you have the right to not release forgiveness in my direction. That's what you've been praying all these years. God, can I take back prayers? No. You prayed it. Sorry, you're stuck with that. So the only alternative for your life, guess what? It's to start releasing people. Start forgiving people. And you say, God, forgive me, cleanse me. Is there anything that needs to be cleansed in my life? Forgive me, God. But also, I understand that I need to start forgiving other people and releasing other people. So when you don't release other people in your life, let me tell you, it clogs up that sense of release between you and God. Sometimes people come and say, I don't understand. It feels like my relationship with God is strained and he feels distant in my life. And sometimes it could be that there's people in your life that you need to forgive or release so that you will experience that release and forgiveness in your life. That's what you're praying. Amen. Okay? The Bible tells us that if you have something to get someone, make it right. Typically, how we operate, if we get hurt or offended, our tendency is to curse it, nurse it, and then rehearse it. We curse it. Oh, they hurt me. We nurse it. And then we rehearse it. Oh, they did this. I remember they said this. Oh, no, that hurt. God is saying, no, release it. And then next, number five, he teaches us to pray for protection. But deliver us from evil. I heard of a father that was teaching his three-year-old daughter the Lord's Prayer. And he said, okay, now I want you to pray it on your own. And she got everything right until she got to that part. And she said, and deliver us from email. And you know, I think she was halfway right. But deliver us from evil. Why do we pray deliver us from evil? You say, well, because God tempts us. No, God never tempts you to evil. Remember that. God never tempts you to do evil. God may test you, but God will not tempt you. God is not happy when you fall into temptation. He doesn't dangle a carrot of temptation and when you grab it say, aha, I got another one. That's not God. God never tempts you to do evil. In fact, James tells us in James chapter 1, verse 13 through 16, it says, God doesn't tempt you to do evil because there's no evil in God. God would not tempt you to do evil, but all of us are tempted when we're drawn away by our own lust and enticed, and then we fall into evil. So what you're praying is this, God, protect my spirit. There's temptation all around. Give me strength and power to resist temptation, to see the wrong that's out there, not to be lured in by it. I love what it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Jot this verse down. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape also that you may be able to endure it. There is not a person in this place that's under a temptation that you don't have a way to escape it. Sometimes the escape valve is the door. Just go out the door. But God will never give you temptation that's bigger than your power to resist if you call upon him. Amen? And then very lastly, number six, it ends up the Lord's Prayer. And in some of the translations, this is not included because in some of the oldest manuscripts, it's not found. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It's a form of praise. You end with praise. And I think every time you pray, it's great to begin to declare the position of God and to begin to praise God for what he's done. Now, next time you go to pray the Lord's Prayer, you tell someone, well, I just prayed the Lord's Prayer. And they say, oh, it took you 20 seconds, right? No, I've been praying the Lord's Prayer and I've been on it for 40 minutes and I still haven't finished it. Because if you begin to pray this, you will end up praying for yourself, your family, your provision, the nations, the missionaries, your temptation. You will praise God. You'll hallow his name, your position as son. You'll end up praying for a lot of things and a lot of people. And you'll know this, you're following the pattern that Jesus taught us to pray. So here's my challenge to you. I want you, as we continue to engage in this 21-day challenge, my challenge to you is this. I want to challenge you for every day this coming week to pray the Lord's Prayer. And not just our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No. Pray the Lord's pattern of prayer. Start. I gave you a little cheat sheet there. It's in your bulletin. You can look through that and just start praying through the Lord's Prayer. And you tell me if you don't experience a renewal in your faith and the ability to pray because you're praying not on your own pattern, but you're praying a pattern that Jesus taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. It's strategic, it's powerful, and it's backed by Jesus himself. So my challenge to you is every day during this week, begin to pray the Our Father, the pattern of the Our Father. Amen.
Well, that finishes our Straight Talk on prayer and fasting. Please do join us again on the next Straight Talk as we continue on in our series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will also find helpful tools that will help you in your walk with God. If you prefer to have a CD of the message, please contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping, and Pastor Mark's first book, Unstuck, is also available for only $10 plus shipping. If you are looking for a home church, we invite you to check out one of our 25 New Life locations throughout Chicagoland. Just log on to newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you. Well, that's it for our Straight Talk team tonight. On behalf of Pastor Mark and myself, thank you so much for listening. Please do tune in again as we continue on with our series called Habits, Disciplines That Make a Difference. Have a great night, and God bless.